Nat Metcalf here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit, netball teamwear, and netballs, plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com now.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, the season has finally started. And joining me now to look back on the opening weekend is somebody that guided us through that Sky weekend, the Sky whole day coverage, back-to-back games, Sky's lead comm, Lindsay Chapman. Lindsay, have you recovered yet?
That's a great question, Andy. it's funny.
The season is good. So there we go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's funny. It's very intense, isn't it? It's brilliant. And there's such a great atmosphere as well, both in the stadium and I think watching it as well. You could really feel the different games. But yeah, by the end, I feel like I played, which I haven't. You know, I am nowhere near the level of Super League netball. But it's a big one. It's a big one. And sort of moving through each game and looking at all the new players, it's so exciting.
I'll try and keep this to under 10 minutes because we could easily spend another 6 hours on it. But how much of your Sunday was re-watching those games from Saturday?
It's fascinating to me. So I commentated 3 of the 5 games. I didn't do the last one. So that was my sort of enjoyment on the Sunday, was I went back and watched the final game between Dragons and Mavericks. And, you know, the pressure was off me by then. So I could just sort of sit back and enjoy it. And I say that, but I couldn't sit back because it was such a nail-biting game, wasn't it? You know, to end the whole day. So it was brilliant to watch it back and have those available free to air on YouTube as well. You know, really brilliant for the fans.
What was it like? Almost that whole atmosphere in and around the arena as well.
Oh, it was electric, absolutely electric. And I think that there's been a big build-up into this season and also looking ahead to season 25 and that sort of professionalisation journey. And I think fans, players, teams, coaches just wanted to get the action going, you know, and get on the court. And I think you could really feel that. I mean, there were 6,000 fans in that stadium and many, many more watching at home. And to have that conversation ahead of a Super League season as well, you know, looking at all the player transfers, the chat on Twitter, it all sort of came to a head. And I think it looked brilliant. I really loved that the circles were different colours. If you watched on the Sky coverage, it just looked gorgeous. And you could feel the energy in there, both on the court and from the fans. It was brilliant.
And the interaction with the fans as well, and everything built around the games, that's obviously going to be built into 2025.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's actually really important to have that first opening day because it sets us off with this sort of festival of netball. But almost more importantly, you get to see all the teams in one go. So you get to look at how those new rosters are lining up, you know, what you think of or what you sort of preconceive might happen, then changes on the day. And you can start to get a real feel for how the season could start to pan out, you know, when you look at different combinations and you think, oh, that might build, or oh, that's an interesting one. And to get the visibility across the whole league in one day in the same place is a really brilliant starting point, because obviously great stuff this year. There's going to be a game on Sky and a game on the BBC every single week. But that means you won't maybe see your team for a couple of weeks until they come back around. So to see everybody at the beginning, you can sort of get that baseline, and it's a really great place to springboard the season. And absolutely, we need that for 2025 and as we look into the future.
For you and the rest of the Sky team then, it must have been hugely rewarding by the time you finished on Saturday night, got the pizzas in and just almost reflected back on what was a huge day of netball.
I don't think we know who we are by the end of the day, to be quite honest. You sort of forget your own name because it's so many minutes of elite, fast-paced, high-energy netball. But absolutely, you know, I think we revel in what we do. We absolutely love what we do. And talking about netball, commentating netball is my absolute passion, you know. And I think to have the privilege of watching and working with those players and teams and coaches in a broadcast capacity is just it's so rewarding, you know. And when you look back on the day, you do feel like you've run a bit of a marathon, actually, and it is a real achievement. And as I say, it's a brilliant start to the season. And as a fan away from my job, just getting that sort of broad sense of what's happening and what it looks like for 2024 is vital. It's brilliant.
The first game was Stars 57, Rhinos 41. The almost focus was on maybe Jeeva, but it was Jazz Brown who took applause and that player of the match. She had a great game.
I'm going to go so far as to say player of the day for me, Jasmine Brown. And you're right. And that's hard. I think it's hard coming into a league if you are the player that everybody is looking at. And for Jeeva Mental, that is the case. You know, she's been playing out in Australia. She's been the England Roses number one goalkeeper for 20 years. You know, it's brilliant to have her here, but there is a bit of pressure coming into that game on her. And don't get me wrong, she is absolutely going to build through this season as she sort of adapts to the play back here in the UK. But Jasmine Brown, for me, player of the day. You know, the way she was reading balls coming down to her, anticipating early, going out for some of those hunting balls outside the circle, and her partnership with Joe Tripp. And I think that's really important, what they're beginning to build. And don't forget, you know, she was new to the Super League in 23. So she was voted, I think, most improved player for Stars last year. And boy, could you see that on the court. I thought she was the player of the day. Brilliant.
Storm were up next against Lightning, 63-50 to Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing to commentate on as well, because, you know what these players mean individually, you know what they mean to a team. Amy Flanagan is the captain of Surrey Storm, and that cuts deep for you, you know, and you never, ever like to see a player go down, you know, particularly with something that didn't look good as she left the court. And also, she's such an influence for Surrey Storm, isn't she? You know, she's got four Super League championships to her name with Storm, and then two with Wasps. And I just think the teams, both teams, because Nat Panagari as well, she went down.
Yeah, she went down.
A lovely player as well. And you think, how do the teams regroup quickly on court? Because they care for that person. They're thinking about that person. But you have to get on with the game. So you have to sort of change up your mindset and do things differently. And actually, I thought Amy Howell came on really well for Surrey Storm. I thought that she played well and brought something a little bit different. And
Bella came on as well, didn't she?
Yeah, Bella Bayliss came on for Loughborough Lightning, and I just thought had a wonderful game at centre. You know, she had vision. Again, the ball was in safe hands, and she was playing pretty fearless netball, actually. This was an interesting matchup for me, because I feel like, you know, Surrey Storm did so well last year, and Mickey Austin has talked about wanting to push on this year. But Lightning, for me, are a real team, if you know what I mean. They've sort of got those names, but it's not really about the names. It's about how they work together as a team and how they adapt to what's going on court. And that is what they do brilliantly. And last season, you know, they were behind, they were in front. They've had experience of sort of how to manipulate a game. And I felt that they just did that really well.
Sirens 49, Bath 53, and Bath coped really well with Sirens' fight back.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did. And again, I think this is two teams that will build through the season. It was great to get a first look at them. But I think you're right. You know, I think Bath were the ones that were able to hold their nerve in the end, weren't they? And it'll be interesting to see where those two teams get their wins through the season. So keep your eye on both of them. But Team Bath, this is year two of their four-year build, as they're sort of talking about it. And you can see that, you know, you can see that they're trying to cement some of their connections and learn week in, week out. So I would say, you know, where are the wins going to come? And they will come for both teams. And who are they going to try and pick off? Who will they be looking at in the season?
And again, for Bath, we saw Sophie Kelly's impact.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, Sophie Kelly, just gorgeous to watch, I think, and lovely to commentate on and speak about as well. I just feel she really got into her flow, and the team could feel that when the ball was in her hands, it was in safe hands, you know, and she's going to put that shot up. And you need a shooter that is going to do that week in, week out, and not be afraid to shoot from anywhere within that circle.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jadine van der Merwe, and you are listening to The Maple Show.
Solid win for Thunder, even without your Thundercast cap on. Beating Pulse 56-40.
Yeah.
Shadeen got a deserved player of the match, didn't she?
Oh, she really did. And I think Shadeen is in a load management program for 24, just to sort of look after her as a player and make sure that she can put her best foot forward, as it were. But absolutely brilliant. You know, the intercepts that were coming in, the way that she reads the game, the way that she links up with her fellow Thunder players, because she's been there for a few seasons now. It's just great to see her. And I've always loved watching Shadeen van der Merwe, you know, in her days in Australia, playing wing defence as well. I just think that she reads the ball really well and she can sort of take players out of the game. She was brilliant. I enjoyed watching Paige Reed, you know, just her style I think will fit really well into the Thunder setup. I loved Ella Bowen when she comes on. She's got so much energy in defense, so good. But I have to say that game for me was probably the surprise of the day, because I think we'd been building it up and sort of saying this is going to be the one to watch, and actually it was really choppy, you know. Then there were quite a lot of Karen Gregg said sloppy mistakes, you know, and just neither team really could get into their flow. I didn't feel that Pulse hit their mark at all. And it's the beginning of the season. They haven't had loads of time together training because of internationals. But I was surprised that neither team sort of settled into their way of playing really through the whole game. And if anything, Thunder settled quickly, more quickly. But again, I think there'll be a build for these two through the season. And they probably both felt, oh, you know, we're playing the team that came second or third last year. And there's pressure in that in the first game. But it was choppy.
And if you left early, you certainly missed out an amazing treat as, well, it finished Dragons 48, Mavs 48. What did you make of that?
I absolutely loved it. I saw
watched
the first.
Watched it as a spectator, didn't you? Because you'd finished comms.
I'd finished comms, that's right. So I watched the first quarter and then I treated myself to sort of the enjoyment of watching it the next day. And wow, what a game. You know, that was my game of the day, that one. And saved the best till last, because I think one of my hot tips ahead of this season was watch Cardiff Dragons. Look how they've recruited. Yes, they've had to bring a lot of players in, but haven't they done that well? And again, just bringing in their imports as well, and where they've chosen and sort of said, you know, that's where we'd like to put that talent. Worked really well for them, and their connections can only build. And obviously they've got Elle McDonald to bring in as well. So they're going to have options, which they haven't always had before. You know, they've sort of had the starting seven, but then you maybe wonder a little bit about the bench, and they've got options as well, which is great. And just, it just went to the wire, didn't it? And Zarenika in the final, in the dying seconds. I mean, she saved Mavericks, you know, she got that intercept. And then you thought, God, a Mavs going to put on the final goal? And they nearly did. It deserved to be a draw, I felt, you know, and that might be frustrating for the players because you want a win either way. But for the fans, I felt like this is brilliant. You know, it's come down to the final seconds. And I think going into Super League this season, people ask me quite a lot, who are your top four? And I say, well, obviously, you know, you've got your big names, you've got your Thunders, you've got your Loughborough Lightnings, you've got your London Pulses, you know, place number four is an interesting one. But for me, the season as a whole and the league as a whole needs to be closer and needs to be competitive right through the board. And that is what I felt we saw on day one. And that for me is a real excitement of 2024, because we need more contests right through the table, and for people not to be able to say at the beginning of the season, oh, it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and the same names. It could be Stars, you know, could it be Dragons? What is the movement like this season? And I think the teams have recruited well to make our league more competitive.
And Dragons' defence as well, of Leah and Jackie, that's only going to grow.
I mean, that's just going to grow, isn't it? You know, Leah Middleton, I really enjoyed watching her in the Welsh Internationals, and Jackie Newton put in, she just reads the game. You can see that. And my goodness me, as she gets her eye in, you know, netball here in the UK, that's going to be one to watch, isn't it? That pairing. I really, really enjoyed that. And then you've got Philippa Yarrington at the other end as well. Again, played really well in the internationals I saw. So they're an exciting team to me, and they've got a great leader. You know, they've got sort of that coaching hat coming in as well. So only time will tell.
This new broadcast deal is obviously special, getting more games on the BBC online and on the iPlayer as well. Obviously, the game on Sky as well per week. So I expect the work and the job load is queuing up.
Oh, they're queuing out the door, Andy. They're queuing out the door. it's, do you know what? It's just, it's so important to have the visibility across the sport. And I think that Sky have done a wonderful job over the last 10 years covering that. And they will continue to do that. They have a beautiful studio set up, you know, she crafts that whole broadcast space and sort of moves us through and gets all the talking points in. And Tamsin's analysis is second to none. You know, she really picks those games apart. And the fact that the BBC are coming in, I think, just opens it up to a whole new audience. It's really important that it's free to air. And I know we've had that with the YouTube games from Sky before, but this is going to find another audience that are searching about on iPlayer and don't necessarily know to go and search for Sky Netball on YouTube. You know, this is going to be people that are grazing around, having a look. It might be younger children that are watching CBBC on the iPlayer and then they come across the netball. It's really important to be showcasing our sport to all kinds of different people and inviting those audiences in, because that equates to bums on seats and fans that support teams, and that elevates the sport. So it's really important, and I'm delighted to say that yes, I will be working on the games as well. So I'm going to be commentating for a number of the BBC games that are upcoming.
Excellent. Finally, just season's back and so is courtside as well.
Yes, thank you, Andy, for bigging that up. I appreciate that. And it's absolutely shameless. Brilliant. I like it. And the same for you, you know, and what you do in terms of raising the profile of the game. And I think keeping fans up to date, that's really important for me, because like I say, it's amazing that we're getting two games a week. But if your team isn't one of the visualised games, how do you keep up with that? You know, do you keep up on Twitter or on Instagram? And the more that we have these conversations and people can follow their team, we get consistency and people understand the league more. I remember when, you know, we had less that we could watch, and it was really difficult actually to follow the season because games move on so quickly and players go out and get injured and come in, and you sort of think, where are we? So it's great to have the conversations that go on in between the games, and the pods are brilliant for that, and we know that fans want them. And I feel privileged, you know, to have the access that I have with courtside, really, to those England players obviously in the run-up to World Cup and now with the Super League as well, because it gives a totally different insight to what we can do when we're commentating. You know, you can sort of be a bit more in depth with a podcast, and there's absolutely appetite out there for it.
Who's on the latest episode, for those who haven't heard it yet?
Claire Nelson is sort of framing what professionalisation means and the broadcast deal, so what you can expect from broadcast, which is great. Then I spoke to Beth Cobden and Razia Quashi, which is a gorgeous conversation, and they gave real insight into what it's like to be a player in Super League. I thought they were excellent. And then we spoke to the new head coach of Cardiff Dragons as well, looking at that rebrand and what she wanted to bring to the Super League.
Courtside, where you get your netball podcast from, where you get your podcast from. Lindsay, in the meantime, thanks for your time, and speak to you in the season.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to go and do some training to be ready for my, physical training, running, press-ups, to be ready for my next commentary gig, because, it's an hour of fast netball.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.